Hi. Okay, we got this book of the Rebbe, I believe, Letters by the Lubavitcher Rebbe on Faith. It's the third day of the week towards the Sabbath, and there's about 53 pages to chapter 3 that will probably take 13 minutes, about. So let's do it. Chapter 3, The Quality of Faith. It is written in Tehillim, dwell in the land and nourish faith. This means that a person has to nourish his faith so that it will grow and become a permanent part of his consciousness. And godliness will be a reality that he knows and feels as vividly as if he saw it, etc. That is the way it will be at the time of the redemption, as it is written in Yeshayahu. And the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the ocean. Likutei Torah, Parshas Veeshkanan. Your question is whether you should believe with simple, unquestioning faith or whether you should use your intellect to investigate and understand. The answer is that you are obligated to do both. Not only is there no contradiction between the two, in fact, each one brings the other to completion. Igros Kodesh. As explained in the previous chapters, faith is an intrinsic aspect of the Jewish soul, and a Jew who claims that he does not believe is making a mistake about this his true nature. On the other hand, even when a Jew is aware of his belief and he sincerely proclaims that he believes, it can still happen that his faith will not affect the way he actually conducts his life. Since faith is higher than reason, it is possible for a person's faith to remain unconnected with the way he thinks and feels and acts in his daily life. The Talmud describes an extreme case of an inner disconnection. It tells us that just before a burglar breaks into a house, he prays to God for help so that he will be successful in his work. On the one hand, the fact that he prays to God indicates that he believes that God is all-powerful, and yet he knows that God does not want him to steal. Why then doesn't his belief prevent him from stealing? The answer is that although the burglar's faith in God is genuine, it was never integrated with his knowledge and his emotions, and hence it does not affect the way he thinks or feels or acts. In the terminology of Chassidus, his faith remains an or makif, a light that is not revealed within the inner powers of his soul and his personality. And the reason why the Talmud describes such a person is that every Jew can suffer from a similar problem, albeit to a lesser degree. The remedy for this problem is given to us by David HaMelech when he says, Re'eh Emunah, which means that we must nourish our faith just as a shepherd provides grass for his sheep. So, to some extent, everyone can do this by himself. The food that will strengthen our capacity for faith is, in a general sense, Torah and mitzvot, and in particular, it is the study of Chassidus. The reason why Chassidus has such a power is that it brings the transcendent truths of faith into the realm of intellect and understanding, and this makes it easier for these truths to affect a person's emotions and his behavior. Nevertheless, just as sheep need a shepherd who can lead them to the pasture, so too the Jewish people need a faithful shepherd, Raya Nehemnah, a spiritual leader who can help them to internalize their faith. In the letters collected in this chapter, the Rebbe teaches us how to internalize our faith so that it will be integrated within our knowledge and emotions and expressed in our daily lives. The Rebbe gives advice, among other things, about how to overcome doubts, how to respond when our faith is being tested, and how to achieve a sense of inner trust and serenity. At the end of the chapter, we include a story that the Rebbe told about Chabad Hasidim in Russia, who would travel without hesitation into dangerous areas to learn a new idea in Hasidus. The Rebbe gave this story as an example of how a person can live when his faith is internalized, and as a proof that such faith is possible in our own time. To reconnect, blessings and greetings. You are certainly correct in what you write, that your family has already experienced more than enough suffering, and it is time for each of you to be helped from above. Amen, Selah. To receive everything he needs and especially good health, I hope you will be able to send me good news about this. Amen. I would like to make a comment here, although I might not be entirely appropriate in your case. In general, a person's feeling of trust and confidence depends upon many details, upon something that is outside of himself and higher than himself. To state this more clearly, it stems from his belief of trust in God, who is the creator of the entire world in general and the creator of the miniature world, which is man in particular. In the wake of the tremendous shocks of our generation has experienced, shocks that have shaken various spiritual foundations, many individuals have become detached from the deep roots of tradition, family, and society. The result for many of these people is that they feel as if they are suspended in midair. What I mean is that even for those who believe, their faith has become something that has no real connection to their practical life. They think about faith, they say Shema Yisrael and Moda Ani, and they often say it with an awareness of what the words mean. But despite this, they walk around all day long with the idea that they are alone in the world. And from this, each of them draws conclusions in accordance with his nature and the workings of his soul. In order to bring such individuals back to a state of inner equilibrium, the best practical advice is to reveal within themselves the traditions they received from family and forefathers, a tradition that is hidden even now within their souls. For once that tradition is revealed, they will realize that the individual is not alone, and also that every person is the master of his fate to only a certain limited extent, while the main part depends upon God. As a result, he does not have to carry everything on his shoulders with a sense of immense responsibility for everything, not to speak about a feeling of despair about specific matters and situations. When such people are reconnected with the feeling of faith and trust that is, without a doubt, deeply rooted within them, this feeling will bring them peace of mind, and it will help them to deal with the health problems that a human being is sometimes forced to endure and to fulfill their purpose in life more successfully. It is obvious then, in every area, and especially in matters related to the inner levels of the soul, a person needs divine assistance. And here, the merit of the earlier generations is of help. For when a person comes from a family and from parents who were completely permeated with faith and trust in every area of their lives, this will eventually arouse the descendants to reach a similar level of faith and trust. I hope that you will soon be sending me good news, and I conclude with a blessing for a kosher and joyful holiday for you and for everyone who is with you, and also with a blessing that you should soon be sending good news soon. I would be interested to know more about the members of your family. So what you do is you write the Rebbe and you put it in a book, the letter, and you write to the Rebbe, you read the letter, and then you put it in a book, and then you look at where you put it afterwards, and there is your answer. Faith should affect the way you feel. I was sorry to hear that your health situation is not in order, and especially to hear that your spirits have fallen somewhat. It is astonishing that someone like yourself, who has seen the workings of divine providence with his own eyes, or anyone in our generation who was safeguarded by God and survived the flames of the Holocaust, can still entertain doubts. True, even when such a person doubts, he is still committed to the belief that God is the essence of goodness and beneficence, and that he arranges all the details of a person's life until the minutest detail. However, such a person's faith is merely a general idea, and it does not actually affect the way he feels. For if this faith and understanding would also penetrate his feelings, he would certainly be happy with whatever God has given him, and his health would automatically be as it ought to be, and he would devote himself energetically to his work. If you would follow my advice, you would take a vacation for 1 or 2 weeks. This will put you in a calmer state of mind, and the rest and the relaxation will improve your health. Then after such a vacation and after making a firm resolution to serve God with joy, you will be able to return to your activities and to your communal work with good health and success. And maybe I shall do that. Business competition. Greetings and blessings. It is simple and obvious that a person's income is dependent only on God and on matters related to the person himself. One of the fundamental principles of faith for every Jewish man and woman is a belief that God provides a person with his food and income. Somebody who says it is within the power of a fellow man to harm his sustenance, despite the fact that God decreed otherwise, is not only contrary to the Jewish faith, but it is contrary to the whole idea of divine providence, even as it is understood by non-Jews. Unnecessary worries. In answer to your letter, I am very surprised about what you write, that the difference between your present situation and the situation a year ago is so great that there is no natural explanation for it, and from the tone of your letter, it is clear that you do not refer to the positive side. In my opinion, if you will remember what the medical situation was last year, and you also take into consideration the fact that your wife is now expecting, may everything take place at a good time and auspicious time, it is clear that this is beyond the ways of nature, but on the positive side. And even if for the time being the balance of your bank account is going down, this does not affect the present quality of your life, and especially not concerning children, health, or sustenance. According to our sages, if someone has money for what he needs today and yet he is worried about the future, he is regarded as one of those who are lacking in faith. This is all the more case with the people who are financially comfortable and they have not only enough for today, but for the entire month and even for a few years. And yet they are worried about what will be after many years. And the more the overdraft that the bank has diminished, they worry all the more what will happen at an even later period in the future. And they forget that in actual fact, such things are insignificant in comparison with the real improvement in their health and the fulfillment of the wishes of their hearts for the best. This is a great hiding and concealment of the truth. In other words, focus on your health and your wishes in your heart. I am sure you understand that it is not my intention to rebuke you, but it is sad and painful to see a Jew who has something to be happy about, and not only in spiritual matters, but even in material matters, which means that the joy is not only for your soul, but even for your body, and not only for your godly soul, but even for your animal soul. And instead of being happy, you are worried and distressed about what God, who sustains the entire world with kindness and mercy, will do concerning sustenance for you and your family after a number of years. Through faith, hidden goodness is, excuse moi, through faith, hidden goodness is revealed. It was painful for me to be informed by your husband that you feel broken and that it is difficult for you to return to yourself as a result of what occurred. May God protect us from such things. In general, all Jews, both men and women, are believers in the Son of Believers, which means that they believe and also understand intellectually that it is God and only God who controls everything that happens in the world. In addition, all Jews believe with perfect faith that God is the ultimate good, the very essence of goodness. And I am sure you have also heard the saying that the Rebbe, my revered father-in-law, gave over in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, that every Jewish person, man as well as woman, is as precious to God as an only child in the eyes of his father. In fact, it is more than that, but we have to use such a comparison because we cannot imagine a greater love than that of a parent for an only child. From all this, we can understand that whatever God does is for good, and since God wants it to be good for us not only in spiritual matters, but also in material matters, we can be sure that whatever he does is for our good, not only spiritually, but also materially. And as said before, all Jews believe this and also understand it intellectually. However, in certain cases, this remains at a level of faith and understanding, but unfortunately does not affect the feelings of the heart. As a result, such a person might conclude that certain events are a reason to feel brokenhearted or depressed, God forbid, since the negative feelings are openly revealed in his heart, while God's true intention, which is that the events were for the good, remains hidden in his intellect. It can sometimes happen that the true intention of the event that made a negative impression upon him, which was in fact entirely for the good, stays hidden from the human eye and is not emphasized. If, however, a person works on himself to draw down his faith and understanding also into the motion of his heart so that he actually feels that what happened could not have been otherwise, but everything God does is for good, and this implies even a goodness that we can recognize, and he does this until he actually feels it in his heart and sees the good clearly, then God will reward him measure for measure with a reward of the same kind. Namely, God will reveal to everyone, and especially to the person himself, the goodness that was hidden within the events, and they will be able to see this goodness even with their ordinary physical eyes. Obviously, it requires a great deal of hard work for a person to accomplish this within himself, but this work is easier for those who grew up with Hasidic parents and those who married Hasidim, and those who built their families on Hasidic foundations so that their homes would be filled with the spirit of Hasidus and with Hasidic customs. My wish for you is that very soon God should show you, together with your husband and your son, the ultimate goodness that is present within the various events of your life, a goodness that you have not seen until now, and that all of you together should find satisfaction and happiness in both the material and the spiritual aspects of your life, with blessing. Seeing divine providence in every event. Furthermore, and this is the main principle in matters concerning faith, it is a foundation for everything in a person's life, as our sages have ruled. Habakkuk the prophet came and established that all the mitzvahs are based upon a single mitzvah, and it is written, the righteous person will live by his faith, and all your people are righteous. And even though all Jews are believers and the sons of believers, this belief of the Jewish people has to be precisely in such a manner that it will affect his thought process during the entire day. This means that in every event and matter, he should examine and search for the divine providence that is present within these things, despite the fact that it is concealed by a garment of seemingly natural processes. He should also be keenly aware that as long as he has not discovered the point of divine providence, he has not truly understood the matter, and this awareness should cause him to feel a sense of dissatisfaction. When a Jew does think about events in this way, it is a proof that his faith is complete and not merely abstract or partially existent, although it is obvious that also the lighter case he still believes. And said above, since all Jews are believers and the son of believers. This was a clear meaning of our sages when they said that Seder Zeraim, the division of the Mishnah that deals with agricultural laws, is associated with the word Emunah, which means faith. Tosfos explains that when a Jewish farmer plants his field, it is because he believes in God. In other words, even when he is involved in a natural activity such as planting a field, a Jew relies entirely on God and not on the laws of nature. It is only his faith in God that gives him the courage to throw the seeds into the earth and believe that they will eventually sprout. We also see this from the holiday of Purim. A superficial look at the events of the Megillah could give the impression that the Jewish people were saved in a most natural way as a result of the fact that a Jewish woman, Esther, became the wife of a king who ruled the whole world. And yet our sages regard these events as one of the greatest miracles, to the extent that they established Purim as a special holiday and decreed that the blessing Sha'asei Nisim, who perform miracles, should be recited until this day. Our sages also devoted a special tractate of the Talmud to Purim, even though the miracle of Hanukkah did not merit such a thing. Divine providence means that there is no reason to be afraid. I received your letter in which you write that your state of mind is not what it should be. This is very surprising, since you certainly know that one of the foundations of our belief in our Torah is a simple, unquestioning faith concerning the matter of divine providence, especially as elaborated upon in the teachings of Hasidus, which explain clearly that divine providence applies to most minute detail of the created world, and all the more so to every detail in the life of a Jew. And since God is watching over you in every detail of your life, together with all the other members of the Jewish people, it is easy to understand intellectually and also clearly stated in the scriptures that God is with me and therefore I will not be afraid, and that God is my shepherd and therefore I will not lack anything. There's no need to elaborate on something that can be understood with even a little bit of reflection. Occasionally, one of the reasons for an undesirable mood is a weakness in the general state of health. For this reason, you should also seek the opinion of a doctor and follow his advice, for the Torah gives the doctor the permission to heal. I trust that you are careful to follow the well-known custom of studying the daily portions of the Tehillim, Chumash, and Tanya, and it would also be proper for you to have your tefillin checked if you have not had this done within the last 12 months. Okay, everybody, check your tefillin and make sure you have a Tehillim, a Chumash, and a Tanya. With a blessings for good news in all of the above, two ways to reveal the faith that is within you. Greetings and blessings. In response to what you wrote about simple faith in the holy Jewish books, and especially in the teachings of Hasidus, it is explained that every Jewish man and woman has complete simple faith, because every Jewish man and woman is called a son of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and every Jewish woman is called a daughter of Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. However, sometimes evil inclination disturbs the power of thought. It tricks a person into thinking about other matters, and occasionally even about matters that are the opposite of faith. In such a situation, it is explained in the holy book of the Tanya that it is useful to get angry at the animal soul and say, "You are evil and wicked, detestable, abominable, and disgusting," etc. See Tanya chapter 29 and in other places that are mentioned in the table of contents at the end of the Sefer HaTanya. Another method for dealing with the same problem that is even more effective, and I think I have already written to you about this, is to ignore it completely. Whenever the evil inclination comes with its forms of persuasion, you should answer that you are not available right now for such things because you have to study the Torah, you have to fulfill a mitzvah, or to pray, etc. Together with this, you should set aside a few coins for charity every weekday morning before your prayers, and you should carefully follow the well-known custom of studying the daily portions from Chumash, Tehillim, and Tanya. In addition, the most importantly, you should study diligently and energetically in keeping with the daily program of the yeshiva, for a little bit of light will dispel even a great deal of darkness. Footnote: the reason why both these tactics are effective and why there's no need to argue directly against heretical thoughts is that on the deepest level of his soul, a Jew already has perfect faith, and the heretical thoughts come from an outer layer of the soul. With the blessings for good news and all the above. Just a moment. Somebody at the door. Hi. Okay. Everything is the result of divine providence. You ask for proof from the Torah that God supervises and controls every event in the world, and that nothing happens by chance, God forbid. It is easy to understand and requires only a bit of reflection for everyone who believes in God's Torah, where it is written that God created the entire universe, both the heavens and the earth. Although the Gentiles say that his glory is upon the heavens, nevertheless all Jews believe what is written, I fill the heavens and the earth, says Adonai, and the simple literal meaning of the verse cannot be ignored. Or, to quote the words of our master Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in Tikkuni Zohar, Tikkun 57, there is no place that is void, devoid of his presence. Therefore, since God is present and he fills every point of space and time, how can anything occur without his supervision and control? All of this is simple to understand. You should also look at what the Alter Rebbe writes in the Sha'ar HaYichud HaEmunah in chapter 2 at the end of the chapter 7, and also in Igeres HaKodesh at the end of the chapter 25. Okay, footnotes. Tehillim, the entire verse reads, God is elevated above all the nations, his glory is upon the heavens. This means that non-Jews believe that God is present in the spiritual worlds, but not in the physical world. 25, in chapter 2, the Alter Rebbe explains that God's creative power must be constantly present within each created being in order to provide it with existence and vitality. At the end of chapter 7, he describes how this creative power is contracted and limited so that it can invest itself within creations of a very low type, such as an inanimate physical objects. 26. In chapter 25, the Alter Rebbe explains that the divine presence can be vested in a state of exile even within the actions of a heathen who is committing a sin, and thus even such an action is a result of particular divine providence. Okay, faith promotes healing. Blessings and greetings. I was shocked to learn that for several weeks your health has not been as it ought to be. I hope that by the time you receive this letter, your condition will already have improved, and you will be able to inform me of this yourself, since in all matters pertaining to mitzvos, it is better to do something yourself than to have another person do it. And keeping the body healthy and sound is one of the ways in which we serve God. The simple faith that is shared by every Jewish man and woman obligates us to believe that God alone is the master of the entire universe and everything contained within it, and this includes the physical world and also every individual man and woman. And since God is the essence of goodness, he certainly wants to give only goodness and kindness to every man and woman. And good health is one of the most fundamental aspects of this, as explained by the Rambam in Hilchos Deos at the end of the chapter 3 and at the beginning of the chapter 4. Mishneh Torah Hilchos Deos, and the Rambam explains that good health is necessary in order to acquire knowledge of God. Hence, when a person engages in physical activities that preserve his health, and he does so in order that he and his children should be able to attain a knowledge of God, then he is actually serving God even while he is involved in these physical activities. There is also a well-known teaching of the Baal Shem Tov regarding the verse, when you see the donkey of your enemy falling down under its burden, you should surely help him by removing the excessive burden from the animal. Shmos, the Baal Shem Tov offered the following homiletic interpretation of the verse. When you see that your body, which is your enemy, in the sense that it generally resists the wishes of the godly soul, is lazy in serving God, you might think that you should stop helping the body, and then instead you should crush the body with afflictions, such as fasting, in order to eliminate its coarse materiality. This, however, is not the proper way. Instead, you should help the body by controlling it and refining it, but you should not crush it with afflictions. See HaYom Yom, 28th of Shvat. In the context of this letter, the point is that God wants us to be healthy so that we can serve him properly. This is explained in the Discourse of Yud Shvat, 57:13. And when a person actually feels all this, and it is not merely intellectual knowledge, his soul will automatically be filled with an inner calm that will bring an immediate improvement to his health and a speedy recovery. May God enable you to send good news about all this, and may it be God's will that this should occur as soon as possible. Awaiting good news. Excusez-moi. Slicha. Even when you use the power of free will, God is helping you. Blessings and greetings. You write about your state of mind and that it is very difficult for you to make any decisions and that you are frequently troubled by doubts about whether you are doing the right thing. Given the education you received, as you mentioned in your letter, I certainly don't have to emphasize the idea of a particular divine providence, which is one of the foundations of our faith and of our Torah, which is a law of life. The meaning of a particular divine providence is, as the simple meaning indicates, that God, who is the creator and ruler of the world, watches over every person and directs not only the general outlines of his life, but even the particular details of everything that happens to him. From this, we can understand that we should trust in God, who is the ruler of the world. Since God is the essence of goodness, it follows that everything that happens is also good, in the literal sense of the word. And every believer can understand this, even with his intellect. The very first outcome of this is that there is no room for worry and no room for confusion, since even at the very moment when a person is deliberating and trying to decide what to do, God is watching over him, guiding him, and helping him, and all those who desire goodness and righteousness. Amen, Selah. When a person conducts his life according to the instructions of the Torah, this is the right way, and this behavior in itself will help him to continue to manage all his affairs in the best possible way. As with all matters of faith, the above stated point does not require intellectual analysis or complicated proofs involving profound philosophical ideas. For every Jewish man and woman feels within his soul that he truly believes, even at times when he is not thinking about it, whether it is correct and can be proved intellectually or not. This is in accordance with the declaration of our sages that all Jews are believers and the sons of believers, which means that a Jew's faith is based on his own power of belief and is also an inheritance from his forefathers who were also believers. And any characteristics that are based on both the individual himself and also on what he inherits are extremely powerful in every respect, and this is easy to understand. I hope that these few lines will suffice to stir your thoughts and guide you to the true and inner point within yourself. Deeply inside your soul, you trust completely that God is watching over you. All you need is to bring that thought from your inner soul and apply it to the matters in your daily life, and there's nothing that can withstand the will of a person. However, the way to accomplish this, as said above, is not by intellectually debating and contemplating upon these ideas. Instead, you should rely on your inner feeling that you trust in God, and you should not be searching for doubts or creating intellectual problems, which are not problems at all, and which are not really even bothering you. If you will simply shift your attention away from the whole subject, God will definitely help you to become free in an easy way from all the confusion you write about. It would be proper for you to set aside a few pennies for charity before the weekday morning prayers several times a week. The best time to do this would be on Monday and Thursday and on Erev Shabbos, though obviously all this should be done without the force of a vow. With a blessing that you should strengthen your trust in God, and that you should soon have good news to report about all of the above. Through trust, hidden goodness will be revealed. For someone like yourself and for your wife, since our sages have said that a man's wife is like his own body, and for the members of your family in general, there is certainly no need to elaborate on the idea that God directs the affairs of every Jewish man and woman with his divine providence. In the original Hashgacha Pratis, and that God is the essence of goodness. From all this, it is easy to understand that God does not decree anything that is bad, and that everything God does is for the good. In the original, this is expressed by a partial quote from Eicha. The simple meaning of the entire verse is it not true that both evil and good come from the mouth of God, which means that nothing can happen unless it was decreed by God? However, the partial quote only includes the words, from the mouth of God, nothing evil will come, which expresses the idea that everything God does is actually for the good. Even though it is sometimes difficult for us to understand this, and to discern this with the physical eyes, to understand it with human intelligence. Nevertheless, this lack of knowledge does not change the reality. Not only that, but when we strengthen ourselves in this pure, simple faith, which is truly present within all Jews, since every Jew is called a believer and the son of believers, then in the language of the Alter Rebbe, in Igaris HaKodesh, at the end of the chapter 11, everything will actually become good, even in a revealed way. According to the saying of the Alter Rebbe, that we should live with the times, which means that we should live with the weekly Torah reading. In other words, a Jew should find a connection between the events of his life and the weekly Torah reading. All this is especially relevant now when we are reading from the Torah about our father Avraham, for Avraham was the first believer, and he gave his belief as an inheritance to every Jew, even to the last generation, as it is explained in a number of places. It is also explained that the more a person strengthens his belief in this concept, the idea that everything God does is for the good, the more he will receive God's blessing for all that he needs, and in particular, that he should merit to see the goodness even with his own physical eyes, with blessings for good news. Why do the wicked prosper? Greetings and blessings. Igros Kodesh. This is in response to your letter in which you write about the financial situation of your family. You mentioned that it is difficult for you to earn enough money, especially since you have to support the other members of your family as well. As a result, you ask whether the gates of heaven have been closed, God forbid, and why it is that people who are unworthy are able to succeed. In the original Derech Rekiam Salecha, there is no need to explain at length that this question of why it can happen that success comes not only to the unworthy, but even to the wicked, was already asked by Moshe Rabbeinu in Barachos 7a. And since that time, thousands of years have passed, and the Jewish people are still living in accordance with the Torah and its commandments. And indeed, this is precisely the reason why our nation continues to exist. And it is written in the Torah, and you who are attached to Hashem, your God, all of you are alive today. Devarim. In other words, it is because of our attachment to God, and only because of it, that our nation is alive today. And the same is true for every Jewish man and woman. If a person has difficulties in certain areas, and especially in the matter of sustenance, it is not, God forbid, because he is following the Torah and its commandments. On the contrary, if he will strengthen his trust in God, who nourishes and sustains the entire world with kindness and mercy, his difficulties will be reduced, and eventually also his financial situation will improve. One way to merit such an improvement, in the original Vahesgula Leis, a segula is something that has a spiritual power to bring about an improvement or a cure, and the way it works is generally not rationally understandable. One way to merit such an improvement is to increase his Torah studies and observance of the commandments, as it is written, if you will walk according to my statutes, and this, according to Rashi, means to work hard at studying the Torah, and if you will observe my commandments, and then I will give your rains in the proper times, and the earth will give its produce. Vayikra and Rashi there. I am sure you are aware of the custom that was initiated by my revered father-in-law, the Rebbe Ryatz, to recite after the morning prayers every day a portion of the Book of Tehillim, according to the way it is divided into 30 sections, one for each day of the month. From now on, in any rate, you should follow this practice, and may it be God's will that this too should hasten an improvement in your situation. Oh, we should do that every day, like we did it last night. With blessings. Opening new channels. It, an Igros Kodesh, is well known that my revered father-in-law, the Ryatz Rebbe, used to say that when a Jewish man makes a generous pledge to a charitable cause, which is to say that it seems to him that he's giving more than he can afford, then even if it is true, at that time a new channel of sustenance will be opened for him in heaven so that he will be able to fulfill his promise. One could add the following to the Rebbe's words. Since the one who gave us the Torah and commanded us to observe the mitzvahs also told us to serve God with joy, and especially concerning mitzvahs, it is obvious that not only the regular channels from heaven are opened up for such a person, but his sustenance will also be increased in a joyful manner. And since the month of Adar is a time that has brought many good things to the Jewish people, it is also a time when we can expect additional goodness. 44 in the original, Megagalim Zichos Al Yedei Yomim Zakim. When God wants to give us something good, he will generally do it on a day that has already been associated with good things. In addition, it is a time when we are commanded to increase our joy, which will also increase God's blessings and your success, and may it be in all the matters that are mentioned at the end of Midrash Rabbah on the book of Esther. The Midrash says that God's blessing and the attributes through which he bestows them are abundant. It mentions goodness, kindness, mercy, charity, faithfulness, salvation, blessing, praise, and peace. Again, I'll read. In addition, it is a time when we are commanded to increase our joy, which will also increase God's blessing and your success, and may it be in all the matters that are mentioned at the end of Midrash Rabbah on the book of Esther, all abundant. Eating matzah helps a Jew to live according to his faith. Since we are approaching the holiday of Pesach, I would like to give you a blessing that you should have a kosher and joyful holiday. In our time, the most important mitzvah that we fulfill on Pesach is the commandment to eat matzah, and even today this has the force of a biblical obligation. According to most authorities, there is only a rabbinical commandment in our time to eat bitter herbs, since we do not fulfill the mitzvahs associated with the Paschal sacrifice. Matzah is called the bread of faith, Zohar, and it is explained at length in Hasidus that the physical act of eating matzah at a time when this is a mitzvah during the holiday of Pesach, and especially on the first night, gives additional strength to the power of faith within a person's soul. The meaning of faith is that a person believes, and the additional strength that matzah gives to a person's faith means that his belief will not be limited to the realm of intellect and knowledge, but that it will permeate every aspect of his daily life, and it will affect his thoughts, speech, and actions. And even more, this faith becomes as verified as when seeing with physical eyes, although in fact this will only be fully accomplished at the time of the future redemption, with the fulfillment of the prophet's words that all flesh together will see that the mouth of God has spoken. Nevertheless, a preparation for this and something similar to it can take place even now, and the holiday of Pesach gives us a special power to accomplish this. The meaning of this is, in very simple terms, that all matters of thought, speech, and action, a person should first of all conduct himself in accordance with the Torah and its mitzvos, as they are explained in Chassidus, which is the inner light of Torah, and he should not wait until God grants him the privilege to understand these matters fully. God will provide faithfully. Greetings and blessings. I was very happy to receive your letter from the 5th of Nisan with the good news that everything has turned out well. However, I feel that it is necessary to re-emphasize what I wrote in my previous letter. Whenever we have an experience that enabled us to see how God directs everything that happens in the world, we have an obligation to strengthen our trust and our faith in God. And in truth, it is not just a matter of faith, since also our intellect explains to us that things will turn out well, and the blessed Creator will give only success for each person to create the large vessels that will enable him to receive the spiritual and material loving kindness that God wishes to bestow upon him. All this is especially relevant during the days of Pesach, for these are the days of faith and trust, just as they were for the Jewish people at the time of the Exodus, when they went together with their wives and children into a desert land and a place of poisonous snakes and scorpions, relying solely upon the word of God, who had instructed them to journey there. And afterwards they saw that as soon as they had a need for it, there was manna for them to eat, fresh water from the well of Miriam, and success with respect to their material possessions. For the clothes that were upon you did not become worn out. So too, in every generation and every day, a person is required to regard himself as if he too went out from Egypt. And when we conduct our lives with that kind of faith and trust, or at least with some portion of the faith and trust, then God will faithfully provide us with what we need in both material and spiritual matters, and God will help us to see this and to see it quickly, with a blessing for a kosher and joyous holiday. Disregard the numbers. In Igros Kodos, response to your letter, in which you ask the question, why are there so few people in the world who believe in God, in his Torah, and in his commandments? First of all, this has already been said by our Holy Torah, where it is written, for you are the smallest of the nations. God created the world in accordance with his wisdom and his will, According to the Targum Yerushalmi, the first words of the Torah, in Bereshis Bara, teach us the first words of the Torah, Bereshis Bara, in the beginning, teach us that in the beginning God created, teach us God used his wisdom to create the world. And God's wisdom and his knowledge are united with his own infinite being. And since there's no way for a person to understand God's infinite being, it is written, will you find a way to understand God? As it has been explained at length in the works of the Rambam and in a number of other places. Excuse-moi, slicha. Nevertheless, we do find a bit of an explanation for this in the writing of our sages. For example, the Rambam discusses it near the end of the introduction to his commentary on the Mishnah. In the lines that begin, one question remains, why did God bring into existence all the people? For we see that most people, etc. In 51, the Rambam explains there that the ultimate purpose of creation is fulfilled by a person who has wisdom and meditates upon the unity of the Creator. Other people were created in order to help this person to fulfill his task, and they do so by providing him with his material needs and with companionship. The main point of this is that quality is more important than quantity. In other words, a superior quality that exists within a physical entity whose quantity is limited will outweigh even the greatest quantity when its quality is low. The Torah gives a physician the power to do only one thing, to heal. Blessings and greetings. My opinion on all of this is that you have the approval of two doctors. You can rely on their decision, and God will give the doctors the knowledge they need in order to choose the proper treatment for your daughter. May she live and be well for many years. The doctors should use the power of healing that has been given to them by the Torah, but aside from that power to heal, they have no authority whatsoever. Hence, if you hear a negative prognosis from a doctor, you should not pay any attention to it at all. You should view it as no more than a trial, in which God is testing to see whether you and your husband have enough faith and trust in his power. And the more you strengthen your trust in God, the more quickly you will see a tangible improvement in your daughter's health. May God help you and your husband that all this will happen very quickly. I think it is superfluous for me to repeat that I have already written in my earlier letters, which is that you should try as much as possible to participate in the preparations that are needed for a Hasidic gathering that will take place in your city. This will be a clear proof that you are confident in God's help and that he will certainly make yours and your husband's heart to rejoice. In other words, if you show that your faith is strong by participating in the preparations for a joyous occasion, even before you have a reason to rejoice, then God will respond by giving you a reason to rejoice. In many other letters, the Rebbe quotes the Zohar, which says that a person's joy will draw down blessings from heaven. With a blessing that both of you should have a great deal of satisfaction from your daughter with her husband, the rabbi. Faith and intellectual understanding are both required. You ask whether you are supposed to believe with simple, unquestioning faith or whether you are supposed to use your intellect to investigate and understand. The answer is that you are obligated to do both. Not only is there no contradiction between these two approaches, but the fact each one brings the other to completion. The first step in the service of God and the foundation of all service is simple faith. And from the very outset, a Jew is obligated to fulfill the mitzvah that has been called the foundation of all foundations and the pillar of wisdom. The mitzvah to know that there is a primary cause of all existence. The Rambam discusses this mitzvah at the beginning of his Mishnah Torah. Mishnah Torah Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. And in the language of the Zohar, part 2, page 25a, this commandment is prior to all the other commandments, etc. And it obligates us to acquire knowledge of God, etc. If you did not work hard and yet succeeded, do not believe it. Talmud Megillah. Every Jew is obligated to tire himself and exhaust his intellect in order to know and understand God to his maximum extent. True, the ability of a human being to understand God is limited, and with respect to everything that is beyond his understanding, he should live with his basic and simple faith. For a more complete explanation of this, you should study the Semek Tzedek's explanation of the mitzvah to believe in God. Derech HaMitzvos Secha Mitzvos HaAmenus Elokas. Where was I? 57. Okay. This topic is also discussed in Kuntres Torahs HaChassidus, chapter 13, and in several other places. Studying Chassidus will protect a person's faith. Greetings and blessings. Those who merited to enjoy the light of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and his students, and their students in turn succeeded. God bless me, my children, and my families, my relatives, and neighbors, friends, and the world. Greetings and blessings. Those who merited to enjoy the light of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and his students and their students in turn succeeded in implementing in their daily life the instructions of the Arizal that in our generation it is a mitzvah to reveal this wisdom, the inner dimension of the Torah. In addition, when the Baal Shem Tov asked Mashiach, "When are you going to arrive?" the answer was, "When the wellsprings of your teachings will spread outwards." Hence, the necessity to study the teachings of the students of of the Baal Shem Tov is beyond all doubt. Even so, in the previous generation, it was possible to think that it would be enough to spend only a very short time studying these teachings, because one could be confident that young boys and yeshiva students would not be involved in philosophical speculation, and they would never meet people who would question them about their inner spiritual obligations or matters of faith, etc., etc. But in our generation, and especially in the recent years, when persecution and mass murder brought havoc and confusion to the whole world, boys and young men are confronted by extremely difficult tests, and sad to say, there's no way to avoid an encounter with people who will try to raise doubts about everything that is holy, even about the fundamental beliefs of Judaism. Hence, it is necessary for a student to know what is contained in the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and his students' students, which is a part of our holy Torah. As our sages have said, everything that an accomplished scholar will reveal in the future was already given to Moshe at Mount Sinai. And a student who knows the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov will not be affected by what he may hear from other people. Even if you can find someone today who will say that he is confident that his son or his relative will never meet people who are not God-fearing, righteous, and in possession of complete faith, an attitude that contradicts the teachings of our sages, that a person should not be confident even about himself. Experience has nevertheless shown us that the opposite is true. And even according to such a person's words, there is no way to rule out the possibility of such an encounter. And according to the well-known principle in Jewish law, whenever there is a danger to life or even a remote possibility of danger, it is permitted to violate the Sabbath laws, etc. Faith in the living God, not a belief in abstractions. Greetings and blessings. Since everything that happens is a result of specific divine providence, including this exchange of letters, I feel it is my obligation and perhaps my privilege as well to bring something to your attention, although I request your forgiveness for doing so. This is that every created being, and especially a human being, who is the most distinguished of all creations, is obligated to use every possibility that is given to him in order to increase the amount of goodness, righteousness, and justice in the world. Experience has shown us that the only way to be sure that a person's efforts to increase the amount of goodness in the world will lead to enduring results, and what is even more relevant, that he will not come to say that the wicked are righteous or that evil is good, is when the thinking that directs his efforts is based upon a faith in the living God, who in actual fact supervises and controls every occurrence in the world down to the smallest detail. For when that faith is missing, a human being is capable of even the worst crimes. And indeed, we saw this happen precisely in our own generation, in a nation that was on the highest level of culture, a nation that was famous for its scientific research and philosophical analysis, and even for its systems of ethical teachings. And yet, when the opportunity arose, the cultured citizens of that nation became the most horrendous murderers, even from the simplest perspective, and even in comparison to the behavior of predatory animals. I am sure that for someone like you, there is no need to elaborate on all this. When contemplating this, one comes to the conclusion that what is required is a faith in the living God, and not an abstract faith that he exists in the seventh heaven, but is not concerned about what happens in the physical world, or that he only supervises things in a general way, but is not involved in all the details. For as we saw, it was just that kind of belief that led to the acts of insanity mentioned earlier, because a human being is born with an impulse towards evil, etc. Even for ourselves, we have no other protection or guarantee that we will be able to walk securely upon the path of goodness and justice unless we possess a simple but yet firm belief that I am Hashem your God who took you out of the land of Egypt. For such a faith has a clear and inescapable consequence, namely, you shall have no other gods, none whatsoever. And such a faith will bring a person to fulfill the practical commandments in his daily life, commandments such as remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And then, and only then, we can be assured that a person will also observe, do not murder, and do not covet. Since I have been told by the young man that you are gifted with the ability to influence a rather wide circle, may it be God's will that you should utilize this ability in a way described above, and the merit of the public will assist you, with respect and with a blessing for good news. Acting on faith, deep within himself, every Jew knows that the Torah is the true life of his soul. And even when he does not understand this intellectually, he knows it through the power of faith that exists with him, for all Jews are believers and the son of believers. This is from an expert talk that the Rebbe gave on Simchas Torah, Torah Menachem. Okay, not only that, but since he knows it by means of faith, it is more true to him and deeper part of his being than if he knew it by means of understanding or even from the verification of his own eyes. So we simply believe because we know. You don't have to have the intellect or your eyes to let you know. We see clearly that when a person acts on the basis of faith, the action is performed with more completeness and with more certainty than when he acts on the basis of intellectual conviction. The reason for this is not just that a person's intellect is sometimes weak and confused. The main reason is that even when his intellect is strong, a person has the ability to do the opposite of what his intellect tells him. This is because a person and his intellect are two separate entities. Sometimes they work together and sometimes they are in conflict. But when a person acts on the basis of faith and his faith is genuine, then he will perform the action with integrity and wholeheartedness, with complete certainty and tremendous power of conviction. In fact, the certainty that comes from faith is greater than the certainty that comes from direct visual perception. It is explained in the literature of Chassidus that hearing is not the same as seeing, which means that when a person sees something for himself, it is more real to him than if he had only heard about it. Nevertheless, the verification that results from visual perception is also not absolute, since a person who is skilled at the sleight of the hand is a person who is skilled at sleight of hand is able to convince an audience that they saw things that really never happened, as stated in the Mishnah. But if it was done through sleight of hand, he is not liable. From this we understand that although the certainty of visual perception is great, it is still not comparable to the verification that results from faith. And all of this is true about the faith that is found in all human beings, even among non-Jews. And this is even more the case when we consider the faith that exists within the Jewish people who were created from the very beginning to be believers and the sons of believers. Going into more detail, there are two aspects of faith. The word believers indicates a faith that comes from the person himself, while the term sons of believers speaks of a faith that is based on what one's parents believe. There are people in the world, even non-Jews, who will maintain their parents' customs throughout their entire lives, not because of any strong personal convictions, but just because they rely on what their parents believe. And Jews have an even greater ability to live this way, since according to the Torah, Jewish fathers and their children are a part of the same unified existence. As it is written, your children will take the place of your forefathers. The most perfect kind of faith includes both of these aspects. The individual has his own faith, and he also relies on his parents' beliefs. Both of these aspects are mentioned by the Torah in the verse in Shemos, "This is my God, and I will glorify him. This is the God of my fathers, and I will elevate him." The first part of the verse, "my God," refers to the way a person relates to God by means of his own power of faith, while the second part, "the God of my fathers," refers to his ability to relate to God on the basis of what his parents believed. It should be noted that faith will continue to be important even after Mashiach arrives. May it happen very soon. Amen, Selah. In the literature of Chassidus, we find an explanation for the fact that Mashiach will be both a teacher and a king. He will be called a teacher because of the things he will teach the Jewish people to understand, and their understanding will be so clear that it will be like a visual perception. Nonetheless, he will also be called a king because of the things that will be accepted, even at that time, on the basis of faith. What is relevant to our discussion is this. Because the Jewish people are endowed with the power of faith, since they are the believers and the sons of believer, every Jew believes, even if he says he does not believe, he is simply making a mistake about himself. Every Jew believes that the Torah is the source of his inner spiritual life. It is the life of his soul. But a person still needs to reveal his faith so that it will permeate the revealed powers of his soul, intellect, emotion, thought, speech, and action. And so that even in the actual conduct of his daily life, he will clearly recognize and feel that the Torah is the life of his soul. And if anyone will argue that such conduct is impossible in the reality of the world, we can bring a proof from the famous story about the way the Hasidim in Russia conducted themselves during the reign of the Tsar. In those days, there were laws in Russia that restricted the areas of the country in which Jews were allowed to live. In fact, there were even some cities, such as those with military fortifications and the capital of the country, where a Jew was not allowed to enter unless he carried a special pass that gave him permission to be there. Nevertheless, when the Hasidim heard that in a particular city, such as S. Petersburg or Moscow, there was a mashpia, a chassid who was able to guide other Hasidim in the study and practice of Hasidus, from whom they could gain something important in Hasidus, and especially if they could hear the new Ma'amar, a discourse in Hasidus delivered by one of the Rebbes of Chabad, he was bringing back from Lubavitch, the Hasidim would completely ignore the government restrictions and prohibitions, and they would travel to the city on foot if necessary in order to learn a new concept in Hasidus. In addition, and this is the main point, they would do so without any preliminary deliberations and without first examining the code of the Jewish law to see whether they were actually obligated to put themselves in danger by making such a trip, even though according to the code of Jewish law, there is, in fact, an obligation to avoid danger wherever possible. In the original, the Rebbe expresses this by quoting the verse that it is the source of the injunction, you should be very careful to protect your lives. Nor did it occur to them to ask whether they might be able to wait until someone else would bring the Ma'amar to their city and put it on the table in front of them, which is the way that Torah should normally be studied, as we learn from the verse in Shemos and Rashi there. These are the laws that you shall place before them, which means that the Torah should be presented to the student like a table that is set with food and placed in front of a person so that he can eat. Nevertheless, without any such deliberations, the Hasidim would act spontaneously because they could actually feel within themselves that the Torah is the life of their souls. Hence, when they heard that in a particular city they could learn something new, in the original the Rebbe adds the Yiddish phrase, a naivort, literally a new word, a new idea. Hence, when they heard in that particular city, they could learn something new about the inner dimension of the Torah or about its revealed teachings, they were automatically impelled to run to that place without any calculations whatsoever. Nor did it occur to them to ask whether they might be able to wait until someone else would bring the Ma'amar to their city and put it on the table in front of them, which is the way the Torah should normally be studied, as we learn from the verse. These are the laws that you shall place before them, which means that the Torah should be presented to the student like a table that is set with food and placed in front of a person so that he can eat. Nevertheless, without any deliberations, the Hasidim would act spontaneously because they could actually feel within themselves that the Torah is the life of their souls. Hence, when they heard that in a particular city they could learn something new about the inner dimension of the Torah or about its revealed teachings, they were automatically impelled to run to that place without any calculations whatsoever. And in the same way, once they were inside the city, their conduct also reflected their inner feelings that the Torah is the life of their souls. True, most of the time they would try to stay hidden in order to avoid arrest. But when they were returning from a Forbinyan or going to a Forbinyan, they were in a state of mind that was above and beyond all calculations. As a result, they would sing loudly as they walked through the streets, and from time to time they would start dancing, without any consideration for the fact that they were in the city of Moscow, in the middle of the night, and all the city was asleep, and they were dancing around and making loud noises in the middle of the street. It should be understood that this conduct put them in very great danger, especially since the ruler of the city was the Tsar's uncle, a ruthless man who was so powerful that in certain matters that he felt free to ignore the orders of the Tsar. And in a city that was under his control, the Hasidim conducted themselves in the manner we have described, because they were on a spiritual level that allowed them to actually feel that the Torah is the life of their souls. No reason to worry. As we know, the Baal Shem Tov taught that divine providence extends to even the smallest detail of every occurrence in the world. Hence, when a person puts his trust in God, who is the creator and ruler of the universe, this will eliminate any reason for any kind of worry whatsoever. Igros Kodesh. Hakuna Matata. That is it. Okay, we're up to chapter 4, page 211, and that will be for the fourth day towards the Sabbath. I hope you are enjoying lessons of faith and are able to implement it. Just believe in Hashem and believe in yourself. And the more you believe, the more you're answered. Okay, that landed on a footnote of 70. So I will just like to say Psalm 70. And I open to Psalm 64. So let's just do a quick five. Okay, 64. For the conductor, Psalm by David. Hear my voice, O God, as I recount my woes. Preserve my life from the terror of the enemy. Shelter me from the schemes of the wicked, from the conspiracy of evildoers who have sharpened their tongue like a sword, aim their arrow, a bitter word, to shoot at the innocent from hidden places. Suddenly they shoot at him. They are not afraid. They encourage themselves in an evil thing. They speak of laying traps. They say, who will see them? They sought pretext, and when they completed a diligent search, each man kept the plot inside deep in the heart. But God hurled them like a sudden arrow. There were their blows. Their own tongues caused them to stumble. All who see them shake their heads derisively. Then all men feared and recounted the work of God. They perceived his deed. Let the righteous one rejoice in God and take refuge in him, and let them take pride, all upright of heart. Okay, I shall turn to 70. We went to the store earlier, and the lady's grocery bill was $10.70. So I found 10 cents on the floor and gave it to her. And here's 70. For the conductor by David as a remembrance, O God, hurry to rescue me, O God, hurry to my aid. Let those who seek my life be shamed and disgraced. Let those who wish me harm retreat and be humiliated. Let those who gleefully say about me and my troubles, aha, aha, be turned back. In return for their shaming me, let all who seek you rejoice and delight in you. And let those who love your deliverance say always, may God be exalted, but I am poor and needy. Hurry to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O God, do not delay. Ashira la Hashem lechayai, azamru lelokai be'odi. We are looking for a small psalm. Like 131. We are going to do Psalm 133. This is for my boys that are together. Thinking of you now and always as I'm saying Psalms, as I'm reading the Book of Faith. As I'm doing everything, you're in my mind and my heart by my side. Yoshua Yavitsuri Yonah, Menashe Gershom Rafael Penul, Benelka, and Ephraim Eliezer Gabriel Eliyahu Benelka. And this is also for Benyahu and Akiva, dwelling together, and Herschel Mordecai, and all of my boys. May we all be dwelling together in spirit, all of my kinderlach. Okay, a song of ascents by David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it will be when brothers will dwell together. It will be like the good oil anointed upon the head, of Aaron descending upon the beard of Aaron, which in turn descends upon the opening of his garments, like the dew of Hermon, which descends upon the mountains of Zion. For there God has commanded the blessing and life unto eternity. Okay, Herschel Mordechai ben Elka, Aaron ben Yisrael David, Menachem Mendel ben Elka, Yosef Yitzhak ben Elka, Shmuel Levi ben Elka, Ephraim Eliezer Gavriel, Eliyahu ben Elka, Menashe Gershom Riffel, Penul ben Elka, Yoshua Yavatzuriel, Yonah ben Elka, Benyahu ben Esther Avigal, Yaakov Sikaliv Elka, Akiva ben Esther Avigal, Yaakov Sikaliv Elka, and Yehonas and Yosef ben Rus Elka, and Zachariah ben Yisach. Okay, they should all be like Ephraim and Menashe, and all the Jewish boys and men should be like Ephraim and Menashe, and they should all be besimchan in good health and love to put on their kippas and tzitzis, tefillin, talis, and may it protect them from harm, and may they think and speak and do good and use their tzitzis to help them. Okay, Shir Hama'alos L'David Hine Matuv Uma Nayim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad Keshemen Hatov Al Harosh Yared Al Hazakan Zakan Aaron Shared Al Pi Midosav Katal Chermon Shared Al Harare Sion Ki Sham Siva Adonai es habaracha chayim ad ha'olam. Again, a song of ascents by David. Behold how good and how pleasant it will be when brothers will dwell together. It will be like the good oil anointed upon the head of Aaron, descending upon the beard of Aaron, which in turn descends upon the opening of his garments, like the dew of the Hermon, which descends upon the mountains of Zion. For there God has commanded blessing and life into eternity. In this merit, may all of merit of these five psalms, may all of my children be united with their true basherets in the best time, and may all of the Jewish people be united with their true basherets in the best time. May all the people that need to convert properly, and may all of the children learn Torah and mitzvos. Okay, Fegarach Brach Baselgar Shumarchai Ben Elka, Esther Avigal Bashkovsik Lee, Aliyah Ben Esther Avigal Ben Yahu Ben Esther Avigal Akiva Ben Esther Avigal Esther Chai Mashkarachla Bas Elka, Aaron Ben Yisrael David, Menachem Mendel ben Elka, Yosef Yitzhak ben Elka, Yaakov Lea, Shifra Sar bas Elka, Shmuel Levi ben Elka, Dila Shira bas Elka, Ephraim, Yonas and Yosef ben Rus, Elka, Ephraim Eliezer, Gabriel, Eliyahu ben Elka, Menashe Gershom Riffel, Penul ben Elka, Yoshu Yavetz, Uriel Yonah ben Elka, Malkasim, Masusi, Cyril, Devasha, Orna, Aviv, Avikai, El Penina, Masamats Masalamasha Mazamazal Tova Gilarina Tisa Hedva Uvah Bashalamit Bas Elka Esther Avigal. Okay, let's do the commentary. Psalm 133. Let's do the commentary. Matov Uma Nayim. Matov Uma Nayim. How good and how pleasant. How goodly is brotherly love in and of itself, and how pleasant it is in the eyes of others. Those who are unified are blessed with grace in the eyes of all who see them. Al-Sheikh, that means that when we're unified, we're blessed. So let's get unified. Sheves Achim Gam Yachad, when brothers will dwell together, how good and pleasant it will be when all Jews will dwell in brotherly love upon their land. They will dwell together. The kingdom will no longer be divided into two as it was in the past. Mitzudot 258. Alternatively, how good it will be when God will dwell in the holy temple with the Jewish people who are called brothers. Rashi, also see Zohar, cited below. The destruction of the temple occurred because of senseless hatred among the Jewish people. The psalmist therefore describes the conditions that will end the exile and bring about the redemption, brotherly love, al-shich, studying for rain. It once happened that the world was in need of rain, so the sages came to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. He expounded upon the verse, "Behold how good it is when brothers dwell together," and thereby caused the rain to fall in the merit of his Torah study. See Zohar 2:59. See at length Sefer HaMa'amarim Maluket, stated above. By choosing this particular verse to expound upon, Rabbi Shimon suggested that through unity, brothers dwelling together, we create the vessel for divine blessing. 2:60. See Likutei Sikot. Moshe and Aaron, brothers alludes to Moshe and Aaron, who loved and cherished one another. When God gave Moshe kingship and Aaron the high priesthood, neither was jealous of the other. In fact, each one rejoiced for the other. Dechuma Shemot 24. When Moshe saw the oil of anointment flowing upon Aaron's beard, he rejoiced over his brother's anointment for priesthood, as if he, Moshe, had been the one anointed, and as if the oil were flowing on his own beard. Shir HaShirim Rabbah 1:261. Hence, the twice-mentioned beard in verse 2, Shir HaShirim Rabbah Ibid. Brothers also alludes to the son of Yaakov. Although the brothers hated Yosef, God says that in the future, I will appease you and I will remove hatred from among you. I will settle you with serenity and make peace between you. Referring to this, David said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together." Tahuma Vayashev 7. According to Radak, just as Moshe the king and Aaron the high priest were united, so too in the times of Mashiach, the king Mashiach and the high priest will be like brothers without envy. How good it will be when brothers will dwell together. Just as they are brothers in stature, so they will be brothers in their hearts, together in agreement, without any envy. The goodness and pleasantness of this unity will be like that of an aromatic oil and the dew. According to Mary, the two metaphors refer to the high priesthood compared to oil, which floats above all liquids, and kingship compared to dew, which is consistent and gentle, a metaphor for the efficient governance. Where were we? Here we are, the secret to unity. Each soul is a part of God, thus making us all like siblings, children of the same Father. See Tanya chapter 2. The Torah can therefore command us to love the others as we do ourselves, since on the soul level, we are alike one being. Of course, the inherent unity of the souls is obscured by their bodily hosts, which create division. One ego cannot love the ego of another as it loves itself. Yet God expects us to be one nation on earth, not only when our souls are in heaven. We ought not to allow our physical separateness to displace our spiritual unity. Hence, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers, those who are united as one on the soul level, dwell together in unity, even in their bodily form. Al-Sheikh. Eyes of the soul. One who lives life through the eyes of the body and ego can never achieve true love for another, since on the bodily level we are divided. Only by living life through the eyes of the soul can we truly unite as one. This is why Hillel considered loving one's fellow to be all of the Torah, since the function of all the mitzvos is, 1, to raise the soul above the body, and 2, to draw God's light into the collective soul of the Jewish people, which cannot occur when there is division among us. See Tanya, chapter 32, 2:62. Literally, the verse reads, "When brothers dwell also, or even, together." According to the Zohar, the verse suggests two dimensions of unity. Brothers dwell refers to the unity of God in Knesset Yisrael, the collective essence of the Jewish people as it exists in the supernal realms. Also together means that this unity extends to the Jewish people even as they exist on the earthly plane. The Zohar's interpretation provides the mediation for us to actualize the verse as interpreted by Mitzudot. By remaining cognizant of the bond between God and the Jewish people, we increase unity within the Jewish people itself, as above from Al-Sheikh and Tanya. This unity also contains two dimensions. Brothers dwell, referring to basic unity Also, together, referring to a deeper, more profound unity, see Sefer HaMa'amarim, Maluchet. Okay, where were we? That was 262. Okay, here we go. I think I'm not sure how to read this. Oh, here it is. Okay. Keshemen Hatov Al Harosh Yared Al Hazakan Zakan Aharon Sheyored Al Pi Midosav. It will be like the good oil anointed upon the head of Aharon, descending upon the beard of Aharon, which in turn descends upon the opening of his garments. When the Jewish people will be united as one with one king, God's blessing will flow upon them all by the way of their head. The king, the psalmist, uses the metaphor of the oil that was used to anoint the priest, particularly the first priest, Aaron, just as the oil which was poured generously upon Aaron's head flowed to his beard and clothing, so will the generous blessing of God flow upon the king and from him to the rest of the people, since they are united with him and each other. Mitzudot, see Tanya, chapter 2. So God will bless us when we're united. Let's just get united and be blessed. In my mind, we're united. Oil of Torah, how good it is when brothers dwell together. How can this be achieved? Like the good oil upon the head, when we study the good oil of Torah. Oil is a metaphor for the wisdom of Torah. The good oil is a metaphor for the wisdom of the inner dimension of Torah. These teachings flow to the zakan, the beard, and then to our clothing, alluding to our minds and actions. Zakan stands for Zeh Shekana'ah Chachma, one who has acquired wisdom, one who has internalized wisdom, Kedushin 32b. Clothing is a metaphor for the mitzvot which surround us like clothing with their divine aura. When the good oil of Torah's inner dimension infuses our minds and deeds, we can achieve authentic brotherly love, which leads God to listen to our words. God himself provides every one of us with abundant good. The Rebbe, 263, see Sefer HaMa'amarim, Maluchet, cited above. Zakan Aaron, the beard of Aaron. The psalmist chooses Aaron's anointment for his metaphor, since Aaron epitomizes brotherly love. His lack of jealousy for Moshe and his efforts to bring peace between foes and harmony between husband and wife. See Al-Shich and Avot. Two drops of oil. After Moshe anointed Aaron, two drops of oil, like two pearls, deposited themselves at the end of Aaron's beard and remained there for all to see. Ha'aroya. 12a. Aaron, as we saw above, was not jealous when he heard that Moshe would lead the Jewish people. As God told Moshe, Shemos, he will see you and rejoice in his heart. Aaron therefore merited the priesthood, which included wearing the precious stones upon his heart. These two pearls of oil, which glistened at the edge of Aaron's beard near his heart, were meant to demonstrate the reason Aaron merited the priesthood, his generous heart, which was free of jealousy and filled with joy for his brother. This symbol of the unity between Moshe and Aaron adorned Aaron's beard like a graceful necklace. The oil descended to the opening of his garment, which is near the neck. The words for upon the opening of his clothing, Alpi Midotav, can also mean according to his character traits. This intimates that Aaron merited these pearls because of his good character. Al-Shich, Katal Hermon Chayim Ad Ha'olam, like the dew of Hermon, life unto eternity. Just as the dew that falls on Mount Hermon flows to the lower mountains of Zion, so does the divine blessing flow from the king to the rest of the nation. Mitzudas, Ki Sham Siva Hashem Es Habaracha Chayim Ad Ha'olam. For there God has commanded blessing and life unto eternity. God's blessing appears in Zion and descends first upon its king. It is therefore imperative that the Jewish people are united with the king, King Mashiach, and each other in order to receive God's blessing. Mitzudos, 264. Okay, so attach yourself to the Rebbe. Mary questions the notion of the dew of Mount Hermon flowing to the mountains of Zion, which is quite a distance. See there for alternative interpretation. See also Radek and Sepharno. According to Al-Sheikh, when we... excuse-moi. According to Al-Sheikh, when we are disunited, the flow of God's blessing is diverted. When we therefore dwell together with brotherly love, God redirects the blessing to us. Hence, he takes the dew that had been destined to fall uselessly upon the perennially snow-covered Mount Hermon, and instead causes it to descend upon and water the dry mountains of Zion, where it is needed. Okay. Always good to do one more. Let's just do one more. Psalm 134, a song of ascents. Behold, bless God, all you servants of God who stand in the house of God in the nights. Raise your hands in holiness and bless God. God, maker of heaven and earth, will then bless you from Zion. Shir malos hine baruch hu es Adonai kol avdei Adonai ha'om din beveis Adonai belelo su'u yedeichem kodesh uvaruch hu es Adonai yevarechach Adonai mitzion oseh shemayim v'aretz. Baruch hu es Hashem. Bless God. When God blesses you, as mentioned in the preceding psalm, you shall bless him in response with your praise, each person according to his intellectual capacity. Radak. Kol avdei Hashem ha'om din beveis Hashem belelos. All you servants of God who stand in the house of God in the nights, the wise and pious ones who stand up from their beds at night and come to pray in the house of God and give thanks to his name, Radak. Nighttime studies. The verse alludes to Torah scholars who are engaged in Torah study at night. Scripture considers it as if they were engaged in the temple service, Menachot. Beveis Hashem, Belelos, in the house of God in the nights, in the holy temple, Mitzudos. The verse also alludes to the synagogues, which are called miniature temples, Megillah 29a, and to those who pray there vigilantly, the nights during the exiles, Al-Sheikh. Thankfulness. Bless God, all you servants of God. First of all, thank God for the privilege of being from the servants of God. Thank him further for the fact that even the nights, the exiles, you can stand in the house of God, that he provided you the synagogues as a miniature temples in the exiles, Al-Sheikh. Se'u yedeichem kodesh uvarachu es Hashem. Raise your hands in holiness and bless God. Raise your hands to God in prayer, as is the way of those who pray, Radak Mitzudot, in holiness, in a state of holiness, purity, in exceptional concentration, Miri. Holy hands, raise your hands in holiness. Make sure that your hands are clean of any wrongdoing, and bless God. If your actions are pure, God will provide your needs even before you ask for them. By merely blessing God, your prayers will be answered. We thus find Bava Messiah, that when Rabbi Chia and his sons would say the words, the one who causes the rain to fall, which is a blessing, not a prayer, the rain would immediately begin to fall. Al-Sheikh, washing the emotions, the blessing for ritual hand washing, translated literally is, blessed are you, who has commanded us regarding taking the hands, not washing the hands. Ritual washing is not just about physical cleanliness. Indeed, we only wash the hands once they are clean. Rather, the washing is meant to bestow a spiritual change, taking the hands and raising them to a new level. By the way, I just want to interrupt this. In the morning, you are not supposed to wash your hands with soap before you wash Nagelwasser, even though it says your hands should be clean before you wash with a cup. They might be talking about washing for bread, but in the morning, you'll have to wash your hands with the cup first. And then if you still want to wash with soap after, then you wash afterwards. Because if you wash with soap first, the ruach raw gets on the soap, etc. Okay. Washing the hands is a physical reflection of washing our soul's hands. The motions with which the soul feels and touches that which is outside of it. 265. Unlike the intellect, which can be self-contained, emotions by their very nature require an other that is outside of the self. Emotions are thus the hands with which the soul apprehends what is outside of it. Uh, Not sure I understood that. Let's read it again. Unlike the intellect, which can be self-contained, emotions by their very nature require an other that is outside the self. Emotions are thus the hands with which the soul apprehends what is outside of it. Kind of get it. I don't know how to put it into other words. Even when the emotions are cleansed of any negativity, we must still take the hands to elevate and refine them yet to a higher level. Okay, there. Why do the emotions need washing and elevating? Because emotion is ultimately about the self. I love that which makes me feel good. Experiencing manifest emotion in our service of God, which is necessary and crucial. Therefore invites risk. Experiencing manifest emotion in our service of God, which is necessary and crucial, therefore invites risk. For once emotion is activated, it may find unhealthy outlets as well. It is therefore essential to wash and elevate the emotions so they remain healthy and effective tools in our service of God. Cleaning the nails. In the physical washing, it is imperative that nothing come between the water and the hands. The hands must be cleaned, including under the nails, where dirt gathers. Similarly, for the washing of the emotions to be effective, all dirt must be removed. Nails that are not clean, those sharp edges we may have in our interactions with others, must be trimmed. We must cleanse ourselves of taking pleasure in criticizing others with cutting remarks. Indeed, we must rid ourselves of any feelings of condensation altogether. See Tanya, chapter 30. Once emotions have been cleansed of their more decidedly negative elements, they must then be cleansed of their non-sacred experiences. The emotions are now ready for the taking of the hands to be elevated and informed by the light of the intellect. Raise your hands in holiness. Pour the water of wisdom upon your emotions. Infuse them with the intellect's humility, which it attains through its appreciation of the divine. Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak of Lubavitch, 266 Sefer HaMarim Ketrisim, 134. Okay, here we go. There's one more. No, there's more than one more. Yep, another half a page. Okay. Yivarechach Hashem Etzion Oseh Shemayim V'aretz. Maker of heaven and earth will then bless you from Zion. If you will bless God, he will bless you from Zion, the place of his presence and thus the source of all blessing. Radak Mitzudot, 267. The previous psalm ends with God's blessing followed by our blessing, which in turn evokes God's blessing again. The first blessing of God is a general one, whereas the second, which comes in the response to our blessing, pertains to the individual. Yashmia. Direct blessings. The Holy One blessed is he said, in this world when the tabernacle stood, I commanded Aaron and his sons to bless you. But in the future, I in my glory will bless you. As it is written, God will bless you from Zion. Pesekta, Rabbatai, Pesca. Priestly blessings. According to Ibn Ezra, the first verse means that the Kohanim should bless God even at night. The second verse refers to the task of the Kohanim during the day, which is to raise their hands to recite the priestly blessings, and additionally to say to the Jewish people, may God, maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Radak, see Sota. Okay, so U Yedeichem Kodesh Uvarachu Es Hashem. Raise your hands in holiness and bless God. Hand washing. Immediately after washing the hands, one should say the blessing over the bread. As it is written, raise your hands in holiness, wash your hands, and immediately thereafter bless God. One who does so is assured that no harm will come during that meal. Yerushalmi Talmud, Barachot, Sitor, and Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Or HaChaim, 166. So, you know, after people wash their hands, sometimes they grab some salt or a plate or a towel or something else, and they do things in between. Here it's saying, don't do that. Wash your hands, immediately make the brach on the bread, and eat the bread. And then your meal will be blessed. Any Kohen who has not washed his hands should not raise his hands for the priestly blessing. as it is written, raise your hands in holiness and bless God. Sota 39a. Although he has washed his hands in the morning, he must wash again before ascending the platform where the blessing is said, so that the washing immediately precedes the blessing. Tosfot Ebed Shulchan Aruch Harav or Chaim 128. Oh, look, and there's another 8 after that. 1, 2, 8, 8. So that means call mom, because the last numbers are 1, 2, 8, 8. So I shall call my mother. Yeah, and that's that for right now. So what I get from this also, what thought Hashem put in my head is that immediately after you learn something, you should try to apply it. Well, that's pretty obvious, but it just sounds like that follows. Immediately after the hand washing, you recite the blessing on the bread, you eat the bread, etc., and you're supposed to bench immediately after eating your meal. Although they give a 72-minute leeway, but a lot of people forget to bench then, and then they also lose desire to bench. So it's good to like do it right away. If you can see a way to implement the mitzvah that you're learning about right away, just do it right away. Anything, any mitzvah you can implement that after you learn about it, do it. So here I have the mitzvah to call my mother. Or Chaim, 1, 2, 8, 8. Time to call mom. Hatzlacha, everybody, with all you need to accomplish. I love you.